From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Iraq's foreign minister now says things are under control after a spate of bombing attacks that left at least 56 Iraqis dead. So far, there were no claims of responsibility for the upwards of 24 attacks, which appear to have mostly targeted Iraqi security forces and police. We get details from the BBC's Hugh Sykes.
Nearly all the attacks today were on the police, and many of the dead were policemen. In Baghdad, a car was driven into a parking lot next to a police station where it exploded, killing at least 15 people and wounding nearly 60. In Kut, south of the capital, a man detonated a bomb in a four-wheel drive vehicle which he'd managed to drive right inside a police station compound, killing at least 15 people and injuring more than 80. The Baghdad Security Center believe that these attacks are a response by the so-called Islamic State of Iraq, a branch of al-Qaeda here, to the Americans sending all their combat troops home.
The BBC's Hugh Sykes. The White House announced today President Obama will deliver an address to the American people about the U.S. troop drawdown in Iraq next week. According to top officials with the White House's oil commission, the BP spill was a massive failure in government oversight, and in the future, the administration should be forced to consult with experts in the field before making expansive drilling policy. Commission Chair Bob Graham says regulators and offshore drillers were aware of the risks of a major blowout but chose to ignore them. Meanwhile, the BP Vice President Harry Thierin says critical time was lost in the aftermath of the oil rig explosion in the Gulf because key documents on changes made to the well's blowout preventer could not be found.
I told TO, Transocean, to get photographs, to get in touch with their subsea engineers and to understand what has gone wrong. When I heard this news, I lost all faith in this BOP stack plumbing.
The blown out well ended up spewing millions of barrels of crude oil into the Gulf before it was finally stopped. Commerce Department says new home sales fell 12.5% last month and a record 32% compared to the same time last year. But as Daniel Carson reports, others say it goes beyond the tax credit.
This is the second housing report in as many days that will likely stoke fears that the recovery could be stalling. Existing home sales fell last month to their lowest level in decades. The tax credit helped reel in thousands of new home buyers. But Aaron Smith, an economist with Moody's Analytics, says there's more at play here, that the housing sector's problems go beyond the expired tax credit.
Consumers are still very hesitant to jump into a market where prices are falling. There's no real pressure to buy now, especially now that the tax incentives are behind us. And the labor market is still extremely weak.
Although new home sales make up a small percentage of the market, they have a strong ripple effect in the economy. Every new home that goes up creates a few jobs, and that contributes to economic growth. For NPR News, I'm Danielle Carson.
After falling in reaction to the new home sales numbers, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 19 points. You're listening to NPR. The controversial Islamic mosque proposed for construction not far from the site of the former World Trade Center towers is getting support from an unlikely group, some of the families of victims of the September 11th terror attacks. The group New York Neighbors for American Values held a rally for the first time today in a municipal building not far from the attack site. Among those participating was Talat Hamdani, who says her paramedic son, a Muslim, gave his life trying to save victims of the terror attack. Some of Common Cause New York is saying the controversy over the proposed Islamic Center was triggered in part by irresponsible politicians using it as an election issue. Former President Jimmy Carter has arrived in Pyongyang, North Korea. While the Saikow Tower reports from Seoul, Mr. Carter is not there to talk about the North's nuclear program, but instead is trying to bring home an American jailed there since January.
Mr. Carter is trying to secure the freedom of 31-year-old Aijalon Gomes, a Boston native and Bowdoin graduate. Gomes was sentenced to 8 years of hard labor for illegally entering North Korea. Previously, he taught English for 2 years in South Korea. Ju Kyung-bae, a North Korean refugee, says he prayed often with Gomes. Ju says Gomes cared deeply about the people of North Korea and described him as a man whose heart really ached for defectors like himself. Ju says he hopes Gomes will be freed soon. For NPR News, I'm Duahli Saikautau in Seoul.
2 days after the finalization of his divorce from his wife, pro golfer Tiger Woods says he feels more sadness than relief the marriage is over. Woods and Elin Nordgren announced their divorce earlier this week, some 9 months after it was revealed that Woods had a series of extramarital affairs. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News, in Washington.